Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, happy new year to everybody out there. Great to be with you here on this Friday. I was thinking like today was a Monday because it kind of feels like a Monday because it's, hey, back to work here in 2026. But hey, then we got a weekend and then a full week ahead here coming up on the show. My goodness, is there a lot of news to talk about. Sometimes after the holidays, you're kind of like, what do we talk about? Well, maybe we always find something, right? But my goodness, is there a lot of big news to talk about. The big news that came out on New Year's Eve, just the afternoon before yesterday. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw this, especially if you were following me on X, because I was still sharing things on X over the holiday break, and did a couple of Newsmax interviews as well. I think, what was it, Wednesday morning, I think I was on Newsmax around 9:30 in the morning on Wednesday, so that was a little fun. Kind of cool to, do a Newsmax TV interview, a national Newsmax TV interview in the morning, and then be on the ski hill by lunch. A pretty cool deal we have here in Montana, isn't it? But there were four topics, by the way, that we were going to potentially cover. On that Newsmax interview, sometimes when they ask you to be on the show, they're like, well, we may cover these four different topics, and maybe you cover one, right? And so I didn't know which topic they'd cover, but I thought I would go over the four topics we were possibly going to cover, and then, of course, we could talk about the one that we did cover. But, big Montana news. I've got it on our Montana Talks website already. Put the article together last night. A massive 6-1 win for Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. You guys remember that phony ethics complaint? Well, actually, let me go bigger picture here. What did the Democrats do in the 2024 elections? What did they do to Trump? What did they do to Attorney General Austin Knutson? Well, basically the same thing. And not only did they do it against Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson, they did it against a whole bunch of other effective, competent Republican attorneys general all across the country. The Federalist did some great reporting throughout all of this. But the phony ethics complaint that was filed against Attorney General Austin Knutson here in Montana was similar to phony ethics complaints that were filed against several other Republican attorneys general all across the country. It was election interference. They were desperate to come up with some way to interfere in the elections to try to make these Republican attorneys general look bad. But much like the election interference and the lawfare that was waged against President Donald Trump, they made themselves look bad. They didn't make the Republican attorneys general look bad. They made themselves look bad. But anyway, the Montana Supreme Court ruling is now out, a 6-1 ruling. They are dismissing the ethics complaint against Attorney General Austin Knutson. And on top of that, they also basically called out the violations of the AG's due process rights throughout this process. So that was huge. Now, some of you are saying, well, what? You mean the woke left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court ruled in support of the AG? Well, most of those far-left activists on the Montana Supreme Court had to recuse themselves. So there was several district court judges who were on this panel to make the ruling instead. So, Bittigieri, by the way, far-left Bittigieri, was the one lone dissenter.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and a few showers around the area into the day today, otherwise seeing some breaks of sun later on as well. High temperature readings will stay back in the mid-upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s into the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures head back in the low to mid-30s. Then we'll see a mix of clouds and sun develop Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so these were the four topics. We'll get into all the big news regarding the Attorney General's case. Plus, I'm sure I should have asked Caden. I know that I know that John Jackson, by the way, big thanks to John for covering the show here for the rest of the week. Big thanks to our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, for putting together our best of show on New Year's. So if you listened to the show yesterday, that was all the great work of Caden. Thanks for putting that together so our listeners had some good content for the New Year's Day holiday. In fact, one of the things he included was my conversation before Christmas with Attorney General Austin Knutson. There was so much important information in that conversation that I was going to plan on maybe re-airing part of that here today, but he covered it for the New Year's Day show yesterday, so we can spend more time getting into all the new information. Also, I know John covered the Minnesota fraud scandal, the Somali daycare story at length and in good depth. I'm assuming the Max Baucus connection came up as well, right? The Max Baucus, the former Democrat senator from Montana, who sold us out to China after he became, you know, Obama's ambassador to the communist Chinese for 2 years, and then Baucus cashed in and started getting on the board of all these, you know, state-run businesses, et cetera. Remember, we told you a while back that Max Baucus was connected to Ilhan Omar and her Somali fraud scandal. How did Ilhan Omar and her husband's company go from being worth practically nothing to $30 million in 1 year? Well, Max Baucus was listed on their company website, but now that all this Minnesota fraud has been broken wide open by that great young man, Nick Shirley, they scrubbed Max Baucus's name from their company website. So that's another story that I got on our Montana Talks website last night as well. Here were the four topics that we were potentially going to talk about on Newsmax Wednesday morning when I did that Newsmax TV interview. The first topic, I'll tell you, is the one that we ended up talking about. The inauguration and the swearing in of New York City, now New York City Mayor, the commie Mamdani. And I don't know if you guys knew this or if you heard this in the news, but the commie Mamdani, for his officials, when he actually swore in, you know, when he put his hand on the Muslim Quran to get sworn in as the first Muslim mayor of New York City, they had the ceremonial swearing-in deal that was public, but the official where he actually got sworn in as mayor took place in an underground abandoned subway station. And so it was me and this, I think, former Democrat state senator out of New York who were the two folks that were the guests on the program with Sean Christman on Wednesday morning. And I said, look, is anybody surprised he's doing this in an abandoned subway station? I mean, he couldn't use an existing subway because it was probably too dangerous. They would need the hero, Daniel Penny, to come in and pull security. And I think the line that I didn't use that I meant to throw in there as well. So, you know, an underground abandoned subway station. Is that the underground gulag they wanted to throw Daniel Penny in? Is that where Mamdani got sworn in? And then the big picture on Mamdani is the Democrats created the affordability crisis in New York. And now they want to capitalize on the affordability crisis by basically ushering in more of the socialism that has destroyed New York City. Let's see. Oh, the other point that I did add on that, because, of course, the Democrats are like, oh, well, Mamdani cares about the working people, free groceries, free daycare, free buses, free everything, right, that somebody's got to pay for, so it's not free. And I made the point that, okay, here's the Democrats trying to virtue signal, act like they care about working people. New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul, so the Republican Congress, with their working families tax cuts that were included in the one big beautiful bill, no tax on tips, right? So a lot of people, when they get their first paycheck of this year, you're going to notice you're going to have more money in your paycheck because less money is going to be deducted for your taxes this year. Well, New York Governor Kathy Hochul is refusing, last I heard anyway, maybe it's changed, is refusing to implement the no tax on tips. So basically, here's the Democrats virtue signaling. Oh, free buses, free. And Governor Kathy Hochul and the Democrats in New York literally have their hand in the tip jar, stealing tip money from waitresses, coffee baristas, and other workers. And, you know, I just hope this is the final nail in the coffin for the party of the working class, because we've seen it very clearly here in Montana that the Democrats have outright abandoned the working class. There were three other topics we were going to get to. There was a story about, you know, MTG, you know, criticizing Trump again. And, yeah, you know, to be honest, my response to that one was going to be, look, I talk to Montanans every day. MTG isn't on their radar. Instead of MTG, we're talking MT coal. We're talking MT mining. We're talking MT timber. We're talking MT oil, gas, you name it. That's what we're talking about, what President Donald J. Trump and our Republican delegation are delivering for the people of Montana, especially the working class people of Montana. The autopsy results, the 2024 election autopsy results, the fact that the Democrats buried that and are not going to release the autopsy, no surprise there. Again, the final nail in the coffin for the party of the working class, and they buried the autopsy results, no big surprise there. We were going to talk Nicki Minaj as well, and the point I was going to make on that one is, look, she is being attacked because of her spiritual beliefs. It's more than just political.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good Friday morning, everyone. I'm Lane Northland. Well, before the new year, USDA's Farm Service Agency finally announced the per-acre payment rates for the one-time Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, which is designed to help producers bridge high input costs and low commodity prices from the 2025 crop year. Now, eligible producers must be actively engaged in farming and have reported their 2025 planted acres by the December deadline last year. Covering a few of the crops covered for the program for a per-acre payment rate, including barley priced at $20.51 an acre, corn priced at $44.36 an acre, lentils $23.98, wheat priced at $39.35, while soybeans coming in at $30.88 per acre. Of course, there are other crops covered. You can check those out by visiting westernagnetwork.com. Now, USDA says producers who qualify for the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program can expect FSA to begin issuing payments on February 28, 2026. For more details or any questions you may have, contact your local Farm Service Agency office.
It's more than a convention. It's where the cattle industry comes together. CattleCon 2026 is heading to downtown Nashville, February 3rd through February 5th. Gain insights from top cattle industry experts, connect with fellow producers, and take part in shaping the future of our business. Plus, world-class entertainment and inspiring keynote speakers. Whether you're there for the business, the education, or the good times, CattleCon is where it all comes together. Register today at convention.ncda.org.
Cattlemen, join the Western Video Market Auction broadcast live from the historic North Platte Stockyards in North Platte, Nebraska. The pre-show begins at 9 a.m. Central with the auction starting at 9:30. This sale features several thousand head of weaned calves, including a large consignment from Seward Cattle, shipping out of Laird, Colorado. Plus, reputation special program consignments from leading Western producers. You'll also find a major offering of dairy beef cross steers and heifers from Southwest Cattle. View catalog or register to bid at WVMcattle.com.
Well, last year, or on the last day of last year, China announced it will begin curbing beef imports starting this week, imposing an extra 55% tariff on shipments that exceed new quota limits. as Beijing moves towards its domestic cattle industry protection mode. Reuters reports China has set a 2026 import quota at 2.7 million metric tons, below recent shipment levels from key suppliers like Brazil, Australia, in the United States. Now, the measure will remain in place for 3 years, Chinese officials say, with quotas increasing slightly each year. Chinese officials say surging beef imports have hurt their domestic producers, while analysts note China's beef sector still struggles to compete with lower-cost exporters like Brazil and Argentina. Imports are expected to decline in 2026 as a result. The move comes amid a global beef shortage and record-high prices in parts of the world, including the U.S. Exporters, especially Brazil, warn the tariffs could cost billions in lost revenue, while Australia has called the decision disappointing despite its free trade status with China. In other news, the Bureau of Land Management has released updated greater sage-grouse management plans, amending dozens of land use plans across the West. Groups like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the Public Lands Council say the revisions recognize livestock grazing as a key tool for improving sagebrush habitat and reducing wildfire risk. The group said the plans followed the best available science and acknowledge ranchers as original conservationists, adding that state-specific approaches are critical to protecting both sage-grouse and working rangelands. I'm Lane Northland, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, it's great to be back here in the new year, 2026, getting our first messages of the new year on the Montana Talks app and getting our first callers of the new year as well. Bob in Columbus sent us a message on the app. Good morning. I see California is trying to pass a law saying ICE agents can't cover their face. I think we need a new law that Arab women cannot either. So we check to see if they are on the terrorist list. That's from Bob in Columbus. Nancy in Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, happy new year to you. Great to hear from you.
Well, it's great to hear from you, too, and happy new year to the Montana Talks family. And this is the year of the Chinese horse. We just got out of the Chinese snake year. We're in the year of the horse, which means freedom and power. The horse is going to have flames coming out of its nostrils. So there you go. Anyway, I want to say happy birthday to General Anthony Wayne, who was born January 1st, 1745 in Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He was the first commander appointed by General George and President George Washington to command our fledgling federal military. He was the very first general to do this. And he died December 15th in 1796 in Fort Erie, Pennsylvania. From complications from gout. So this is a good history lesson to start the first 250th birthday of our fantastic, fabulous country.
250 years this year. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I'm very concerned over this Mayor Mandani. And I listened to his inauguration, and I saw thousands of people in the crowd, and most of them were recent immigrants, many, many Muslims that have come to our country. And I don't know if this is a good question for Rob Nadelson, who's the expert on our Constitution. I don't know how his inauguration can be valid because he used the Quran, because it says that you're going to honor our Constitution and the Constitution of the state of New York. How can he do this without the Bible, which is our founding, Judeo-Christianity? I don't agree with this. I don't think his inauguration was valid. Maybe his election was. I still have doubts about that. But he said that he is a Democrat socialist, and he's going to rule New York City as a socialist. And I believe that he's going to fail. And I just want to say one more thing. You know, Kamala Harris, she was a Democrat socialist, but she wasn't well-groomed. Now, I'm going to tell you all, to watch this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, She's going to be groomed during the 4 years of this Mandani's mayorship in New York City. You watch.
Oh, yeah, he's going to keep propping her up. I think he's also trying to, that's why she was one of the big speakers yesterday. He wants her to replace Chuck. All right, yeah, the phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Since we just heard the Farm and Ranch report there, I actually had kind of an end-of-year, into-the-new-year soundbite here from Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins talking about how American farmland is not for sale to our enemies, particularly talking about the communist Chinese and owning farmland in America. Maybe I'll get to that coming up here after the next break. But since Nancy in Roundup brought up the swearing in of the Kami Mamdani as mayor of New York City, let's start there. I think this is Fox News. Yesterday they had Alexandra Sawyer with the Washington Times giving a little bit of reaction here.
Big thing here, universal child health care. That is a big talking point. It's going to cost $6 billion. No one knows, though, whether or not how it will get done or how it will get paid for. Lots of questions as we watch this ceremony and monitor it for all of you. We'll bring you there when Mamdani speaks. Julie.
All right, let's bring in Alex Sawyer, Washington Times editor at large. Alex, great to see you. Thank you for coming on this New Year's Day. Happy New Year's.
Hey, Julie. Happy New Year to you.
All right, so what did you take, first of all, away from AOC's speech there? She's very forceful and obviously a very strong voice for the Democratic Party, and she, of course, endorsed Mamdani, was very supportive of him. So what did you think of her speech and her promises?
Yeah, you know, I have to be honest, there was a couple takeaways. One, I thought she was actually positive. Sometimes she is very full of energy and comes off sometimes negative about, you know, the current status of the country. This time we're hearing about a city for all, that it's going to take the community, everyone in the city, to fill houses of worship. She talked about schools. I think that was a different tone from her. The other aspect, too, is the word affordability. I tried to count how many times she brought it up. I think we're going to hear that word even more in 2026 going forward.
Yeah, again, when it comes to affordability, the Democrats created the affordability crisis, and then with the installation of a socialist mayor, they're capitalizing off of the very crisis they created. We've seen this time and time again with the left. In all reality, I agree with Nancy. I think Mamdani is, if he implements his policies, it is going to be a failure for New York City, although a lot of people are also wondering how much lower could New York City actually go right now after, you know, now a couple of decades of Democrat control in New York City. But really, frankly, the best thing going for Mamdani, the best thing going for New York City right now is President Donald J. Trump. You know, you think about it when it comes to safety and security and just the overall economy. If the American economy is strong, that's going to help New York City a little bit, you know, depending on how much harm Mamdani causes. So the best thing going for New York City is President Donald J. Trump. But yeah, if Mamdani does what he actually says he's going to do and campaigned on, totally agree with Nancy. It's going to be a massive failure there. Let's see. Oh, yeah, he's already targeting landlords in New York City. That's going to work out really well for housing. That's one of the newest headlines.
Widow, my husband Ryan died.
We never securing America.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, is awarding $250 million to the 11 U.S. states hosting World Cup matches next summer as part of a grant program to detect, identify, or if need be, mitigate drones. The grants were funded by the One Big Beautiful Bill, which was signed into law in July. The program was foreshadowed by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem during an Oval Office event in mid-November.
They'll have the advantage to partner on technologies and screening technologies, drone technology, counter UAS.
The National Capital Region in the Washington, D.C. area also received money for upcoming America 250 events. Later this year, the remaining $250 million in the program will be split up and sent to all states and territories to increase drone detection and response capability across the country. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970, the number for you. We've got the phone lines open here on this Freedom Friday, the first Friday of the new year, 2026. Let's go to Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. She shared this one via X, talking about American farmland not for sale to America's enemies.
Foreign purchases of American land.
This is not some unsubstantiated boogeyman.
Potential threat to national security. To be in our food supply.
The CCP has increased their holdings of foreign-owned farmland by 1,000%.
Okay, it's more about where the land is. Across all of our states, but it's really based around a lot of our military bases. We have to get out in front of this. At some point, it's not okay anymore. If we ourselves, we will lose our place as the world superpower. This isn't just about protecting our farmers. It's a national security issue.
The Trump administration is doing something about it, launching the National Farm Security Action Plan,
focusing on strengthening the security of American agriculture.
Today, we announced the USDA's National Farm Security Action Plan. Thanks, Dad, with Christy Nome and Bondi.
As someone who's charged with being the Defense Department, I want to know who owns the land around our bases.
Folks, we are in trouble in ag.
It's time for our federal government to wake up and step up. By leadership from people like Secretary Collins. All in this together, and the president has been resolute.
President Trump, for years of every toll, this is both.
The National Security Division is actively monitoring foreign threats.
We'll never let any other country control our food supply.
We've got to fight back.
We tell China to get the hell out of American agriculture.
Ban the purchase of American farmland by Chinese nationals and other foreign adversaries. Claw back what has already been purchased. Our cabinet, our administration, our friends across the country are acutely aware of this issue and doing everything we can to solve for it.
All right. You might remember when that topic really started getting in the news, especially with Chinese-owned farmland near military installations. Fox News, it was Sean Hannity's program, actually had an investigative reporter on location in Great Falls, Montana, talking about Malmstrom Air Force Base. And you know, how China was trying to, you know, effectively spy on Malmstrom is, you know, we're still in the midst of this massive upgrade, this Sentinel missile system upgrade, upgrading our nuclear defense capabilities for the first time since, you know, in a major way since John F. Kennedy's ace in the hole back in the 1960s. So anyway, yeah, that was shared via X from the Trump War Room. Caught my eye. Figured we would share that one with you as well. Okay, I know you guys talked a lot about the Somali fraud in Minnesota, these Somali daycares. But the real question here, of course, is, and I'm sure this came up, is why is federal money going to daycares in the first place? Why is the government paying for daycares? Right? Now, it's a major scandal in Minnesota because you get all these Somali front groups that don't have any kids in these daycares that are getting millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars. They're estimating that the fraud is now $8-9 billion with a B, and some of that money got just shipped back to Al-Shabaab terrorists in Somalia. But anyway, Joy Pullman with TheFederalist.com has a great piece here. It's not just Minnesota. The vast majority of daycare is a scam. Taxpayers have spent hundreds of billions more on completely ineffective daycare than even Somalis have been able to pilfer. So anyway, $240 billion for zero benefits. She basically says that this whole idea that the government paying for something like this, That whole idea in itself is a scam. And by the way, isn't it interesting? One of the things that I know conservatives were very critical of when it comes to this, you know, spending bill that came out of the Montana legislature last spring was that it included funding state funds to go towards daycare. Now, what have we seen whenever you've seen something subsidized by the government? Does it get cheaper? Oftentimes, no. They just, it was like the electric vehicles. Like, oh, we're going to give an incentive for people to buy EVs. And then what happened? The EV companies just raised the price they were charging for their EVs. And so basically the subsidy went straight to the EV manufacturers. And so, again, we're going to ask working parents and working families to pay more in taxes so that somebody, likely not even them, supposedly gets free or less expensive daycare, and it's not going to work. You just watch. It's not going to work. But that I think this is basically the point that Joy Pullman is making here is that they have all this taxpayer funds that is. So you go to work, you work hard, and you probably pay a boatload of money for daycare, but you're going to be taxed to pay for somebody else to go to daycare. And then if it's, of course, the case in Minnesota, you've got a bunch of people that aren't even, they don't even have kids actually going to the daycare. This whole story is symbolic of the betrayal of the American people, the betrayal of the American taxpayer. And that's what I was going to say in that Newsmax interview. We had other topics to get to, but when I was on Newsmax on Wednesday morning, as I was waiting in queue for our segment to start, the guest right before us was Nick Shirley's mom, the mother of Nick Shirley. She's an investigative journalist as well. Now you know why this kid is doing such a great job. He had a great mentor, has a great mentor. Anyway, she was on, and as I was sitting listening to Nick Shirley's mom talk about their efforts to expose all this fraud, it's just like, if you watch some of these videos by Nick Shirley, you can hear these Somali women, faces fully covered, and they're just harassing this young man who's asking just very good. He's just there asking questions, and they're chirping in the background, in their Somali language, yelling at the guy, harassing the kid. And it was just so disgusting, because it's just a reminder of the betrayal. It was like, man, I remember, hearing people speak Somali when I was in East Africa, and to hear that language being spoken on the streets of America as they harass a young man who's simply asking questions on behalf of the American people about the $9 billion in fraud that's taken place. It's such a freaking betrayal. The way the Democrat Party cares more about them than they do about you. They care more about these people who come into this country, who could care less about this country, and the economic principles of freedom and self-enterprise, essentially, and they're here ripping you off. And it's a reminder of just the way that we've been ripped off with all of our money going to all these other countries overseas. And then we saw the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, the betrayal there. And then the betrayal, not only at home, but the betrayal abroad, not only the betrayal abroad, but the betrayal at home as well, led by the Democrat Party. And frankly, a lot of establishment Republicans as well, that are more than happy to send all this money to all these other countries. And then even the money that's being spent here in America is going to people that just got into this country that are ripping us off once again. It's the American betrayal that I know so many of our fellow post-9/11 veterans feel in particular. It's just what a betrayal this is. And I think that's also why people are so disgusted when they see this radical Islamist, this Hamas sympathizer, the Kami Mamdani, sworn in as mayor of New York City. And it's like, we said never forget after 9/11, and apparently people quickly forgot. But then again, how many American flags did you see on the bumper of every vehicle or in the back window of every vehicle in the days after the 9/11 terror attacks? And then, a couple months later, you just started seeing fewer and fewer and fewer. Here we go again. Let's see. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says they are going to go after the citizenship of these Somali fraudsters.
And does President Trump want those Somalis to have their citizenship revoked if convicted of fraud?
Absolutely. And it's something the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of State, is currently looking at right now. It's something this administration has already done. And we know that there are liberal activist judges across the country who will try to block and tackle this administration from pursuing justice at every turn. But that's not going to stop the president and his entire cabinet by acting on behalf of law-abiding, tax-paying citizens in the state of Minnesota and in states across the country who have been ripped off by people who abused our immigration system, came to our country, do not love our country or respect our values, and now have been ripping off and stealing money from law-abiding Americans. This administration is not going to tolerate it. And again, this is a whole-of-government effort. We've surged resources. As you pointed out, the Department of Justice has already...
All right, we'll hold it right there. We got to run right into another break. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Mike in Bozeman, we'll get to you right after this.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And Democrats are pretty much on the wrong side of all of it. If you look at the president, why are Democrats still clinging to championing the rights of men to play women's sports? Why are Democrats clinging to this idiocy of no bail laws? Why are Democrats clinging to the idiocy of defund, dismantle, no bail laws? Why are Democrats, you know, screaming bloody murder when Donald Trump goes into our nation's capital and we have a murder-free week when on average we have nearly four homicides per week in Washington, D.C., and by far the largest homicide rate of any capital city in the world? You would think that Democrats want law and order and safety and security. It's fundamental.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you ever thought about upgrading your window treatments but didn't want the hassle, our friends at Blinds.com are here to change the game. They are the only company that lets you shop for custom blinds and shades online. You just go to Blinds.com. You can skip the stress. Blinds.com makes it easy to get that designer look without that showroom markup. Now, you get the same quality, the same service you would at other high-end stores, but you get it at a fraction of the price. Now, samples, they'll send them to your door directly. Now, more than just blinds, Blinds.com carries everything from bamboo shades to shutters, outdoor shades for your patio, and much, much more. All Blinds.com orders are back with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, Blinds.com is giving you, my listeners, an exclusive $50 off offer when you spend $500 or more. Just use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, when you check out. It's a limited time offer. Just go to Blinds.com for details.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and a few showers around the area into the day today, otherwise seeing some breaks of sun later on as well. High temperature readings will stay back in the mid-upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s into the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures head back in the low to mid-30s. Then we'll see a mix of clouds and sun develop Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
For some of the top stories in 2025, what are going to be the big things that we'll be talking about in 2026? Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's what we're going to be talking about through the end of 2025 and on into 2026. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. You can catch us statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m. And go ahead and message us on the Montana Talks app as well.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, with it being a Friday, we just got in the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. But I already told Mike in Bozeman we would get to him next. So what we're going to do, we'll play the legislative update at the very start of the 7 o'clock hour of the show for you. I'm looking forward to hearing it as well. Mike in Bozeman, what's on your mind? Happy New Year. Great to hear from you.
Happy New Year to you and your crew there. Just some quick background. 10 years ago, when I was back in Minnesota, my wife worked for a Western suburban utility that the Somali population was very strong there and has been even greater. But people would, or ladies would come in with their bill for pay their utilities and say, government pay. And my wife would say, no, you pay. No, government pay. And she would look at them and say, no, you pay. And they'd roll out a big roll of $20 bills and pay their utility bills. So this is not a new thing. It's been at the core for many, many years in Minnesota. And it's sad that it's gotten so big so fast. And
that's
just
crazy.
A sad statement of Minnesota.
I can totally
government.
Picture that, as you say it, too. Probably covered in henna tattoos on the hands and arms as they put the stacks of 20s on the table, too. Government pay. Yeah, wow. Yeah, no surprise at all whatsoever. Hey, did you see that liberal woman in Minnesota? The lieutenant governor there? She put on a full hijab, you know, the head covering and everything.
Yeah,
and it's just like, I mean, talk about virtue signaling, talk about pandering. But that's the deal, you know, $9 billion in fraud, and yet the pandering that goes on here. But the Babylon Bee had a hilarious headline. Conservatives want women in handmade tail outfits, declares liberal wearing hijab. I mean, it literally looks like something straight out of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, and that's the whole thing, is that core little group, and it really started back with the Lutheran Family Services or whatever, bringing, you know, the first family in, and then, you know, if we're related, you can bring more people in, and it just snowballed so fast without any side rails on it to guide the right people coming in. I heard a statement somewhere last week about, historically, immigrants want to come in to be Americans, not to be Somalis living in America. And that, I think, is a big difference, is that they don't want to be Americans. They just want to be living in America, which is not what we want.
Well, and then not only that, but, like, I've said this before, are these people coming here because they want to be free or because they want to get something for free? And I think we're seeing mass migration. Look, Americans are very kind, very generous, very open to supporting, you know, true refugees, true asylum seekers. But we've seen that whole system abused. And what we're seeing is the Islamification of American cities, just like has destroyed some of these cities in New York City. Mass migration to fundamentally change cultures and to change societies, and we're seeing that play out in Minnesota.
Absolutely, and elsewhere, you know, even the different Ohio and whatever, where they're saying there was, you know, totally Islamic grade schools that don't even know what the curriculum is, and that's where you're just, the indoctrination of that Islamic laws and rules is just wrong. And you got to stop somehow. How you put the toothpaste back in the tube, I'm not sure, but it's got to take something radical to really get it all straightened out.
Well, and you mentioned, by the way, Scott Jennings had a great clip on CNN calling out the Somali Handmaid's Tale clip that I mentioned. So I'll play that coming up probably in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But, yeah, you know, Mike mentioned, you know, the Lutheran Family Services, and it's like, wow. You know, the Islamification of America, the Islamification of American cities, brought to you by supposedly Christian groups, right? I mean, give me a break. Some of these people are very well-intentioned, very well-meaning folks, and they know not what they do, right? They know not what they do. Mike, great to hear from you. Happy New Year. Thanks for calling in.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show him you love him. Keep him safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.